We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Welcome back into Sports Talk, our WWL Sound Bank, brought to you by First American Bank. Want to get into our interview? Jeff sat down with offensive line coach Brendan Nugent from the Saints at training camp. Here's what Brendan had to say about this O-line going into the 2025 season.
When you're joining a group like this, and you know, a guy like Trevor who's had three offensive line coaches in 3 years, how do you approach kind of setting your standard with that group? And because there's language, everyone brings in their own mission statements, and how do you make that your room with that big of a group?
Well, the biggest thing is the best O-line rooms I've been a part of, it's been their room. Those are the best ones, right? And it's, you know, me, you know, my job in this, in when you have a good room like we have, because we have a very good room, it's kind of just steering them and guiding them where we need to go, right? Like, we can have a standard as coaches for them, and we can try and hold it to them, but the best groups I've been around, the room holds everybody accountable to that standard. So you kind of come in, we set the standard, this is what we expect, we talk about easy wins, things like that that are every day, that, hey, like TNT takes no talent, right? These are things we can do every day that take no talent, right? And those are easy wins, and then everybody just holds each other to that standard, and then the room, somebody's dragging, I don't have to do much if it's a good room. They're bringing them along as we go. So that's kind of what we've been trying to instill since we got here, is like, hey man, like, this is ours together, right? It's not my room, it's not Eric's room, it's not Caesar's room, it's not Tyler's room. Like, this is our room, right, together, right? The better you play, I always joke about it, it's like we're coworkers, right? Like, the better you play, the longer your career is. The better you play, I keep my job. So let's figure this out together, right, and be the best we can be. So it's kind of a group effort, but really it's like those guys, we set the standard, they understand it, right? And then the leaders just make sure everybody comes along with it.
Yeah, and Eric, obviously, he was here when you were here before, right? Yeah, so, I mean, what have you seen, like, from when you left to when you came back in terms of the leadership with him?
You know, when I left, you know, we still had Teron, we still had Ryan Ramczyk, we still had kind of like those older guys, and Eric was leading in his own way, but those guys kind of had a big presence as to how that room went, and it was a good thing, right? And then, you know, just from afar, you know, the past 3 years that I've been gone, I've seen his play get better and better and better and better, which I knew it would when I left, and then just coming here and seeing how he's not only leading that group but leading the offense, right? It's been really good. He's kind of taken that role, and he's not the most vocal guy, but you can count on that guy doing everything 1,000% every day, doing it right, holding himself to the same stand accountable, just like he holds everybody else, which is one of the, you know, greatest characteristics of a leader.
What's an example of TNT?
All right, so it takes no talent, right? I don't know if you hear me out there. Follow the ball, chase the ball, right? Like, you never know, right? We're running, right? Those are what we call those easy wins, right? Breaking the huddle with a purpose, getting the line of scrimmage. We're not sprinting, but we're not walking, right? We're getting up there, we're getting set, we're making our calls, right? Those things, right? Hey, the ball's strong, follow the ball, right? Push the pile if the ball carrier's still up and in a pile. Like, all those things, just those are like, that takes no talent. Anybody can do those things, right? Anybody. Not everybody can block that five technique or that three technique, but when that ball gets through there, everybody can hustle down and chase the ball. Everybody can chase after the ball when it's thrown. Everybody can go run and push the pile. So that's like, it takes no talent, right? Those are the easy wins, we call, because it's easy to do, right? And if we're doing those things, it brings everybody else along. And that's the standard we're trying to set with how we play. We're trying to do it every play in practice so that it just, in the game, it's like one of those things, you do it over and over and again, you don't have to think about your door. You're just chasing after the ball, right? You're just covering down after a pass, so.
Yeah, one thing we've seen throughout to this point in camp is like false starts. Player comes off field. We saw that with Trevor in the situation with Bill today. How do you think that helps a player when, you know, obviously you kind of have to come out and sit with it? And how do you address it with them in those
situations? Yeah, so, right, like, everything has consequences, right? Like, mistakes are going to happen. Right, mistakes are going to happen. A guy's going to jump off sides. Like, we're not naive to that fact, but it has consequences. Right, in a game, it's 5 yards. Right. It's a big deal where we are in the field in a 2-minute drill, especially like it happened today. It's like, no, get out. Somebody else comes in, right? Like, hey, if we're not holding up to the standard, right, we'll get somebody else in, right, and we'll roll. But there has to be consequences for it, because if you just say, okay, back on the ball, then it just happens over, and it's inevitably becomes a bad habit, and guys don't focus. It's like, no, it's not okay, right? You're out for a play. Somebody else is in, right? There's consequences to it, just like it's 5 yards in a game. So just trying to instill that, like, No, we don't want to build that habit. We know it's going to happen, but when it does, there's a consequence. Next play, all right, now you're back in, right? But it's like, hey, it kind of puts you, because now not only do you feel like, oh man, you're mad at yourself, but like you feel like you're letting your teammates, which it should feel like that, right? So it's the consequence of, all right, now I'm not going to do that again, you know. So that's what we're trying to build when we do that.
So with Trevor, you know, we've heard a lot about, you know, Collins just said he thought the move to guard was the best thing he could have done. What is it about his game that you feel like does work at guard?
Sure. Less space for him, you know, having a center and a tackle next to him, you know, like he's strongest when he gets on guys fast, right? You know, that's kind of his game. And I remember him, I wasn't here when they drafted him, but I remember evaluating him when he was coming out. And like, we won't say I necessarily saw him at guard, but like his strengths to me were like, man, when he gets his hands on guys, that's when he wins, right? And he can move people. He's strong, he's big. So it's like kind of moving him there, we're kind of asking him to do the stuff he's good at, more so than at a tackle where there's a little more space, where he's not on a guy as early as he is inside a guard, if that makes sense. So that was the thought process behind it. And, you know, we're working towards it. It's still a little new for him, but it's good. It's kind of like when he gets in there, it's like, oh, I can get this sooner, right? And so you can kind of see the light bulb starting to turn on a little bit for him as we go, and we got to keep building.
And what struck me when I talked to him during, I don't know, OTAs, minicamp, whatever it was, is, you know, a lot of times you move somebody's position, they might not be a fan of it. They might do it because sure, they're professional, but it might not always be, you know, something they were thrilled about. Yeah. He seems excited about it. It seemed like he really embraced it. Is that, have you experienced the same thing?
Yes, absolutely. He was very excited about it, you know, because when we talked about it, kind of just what I explained to you is kind of what what I had that conversation with him and Kellen with him, and we're like, man, we think this plays to what you do well. And he's very excited about it. The biggest thing I think for him is, you know, most of his career he's played in a left-handed stance. It's kind of a big deal if you've only been a left-handed stance. It's bigger than a lot of people think sometimes. So getting him back in a left-handed stance, putting some bumpers around him, giving him less space and let him go do what he does well. And, you know, he is genuinely really excited about it. He's been doing a good job building here as we go.
Just one more question. Yeah. You know, the RPO game is a much bigger element to Kellen's offense than what we've seen in the past.
Sure.
Can you just break down, okay, what are some of the challenges for the offensive line sure. in that play? Because I think a lot of people just watch the quarterback and like, oh, he can run or he can pass. But, yeah that requires the offensive line to be looking forward and figuring out what's going on behind him, not get too far downfield.
There's, without getting too much into the nitty-gritty, there's just a little bit different technique that we use up front, you know, because obviously we can't go downfield, right? The refs now, with more and more teams doing it, they're hyper-aware to it. You know, so we've kind of adjusted kind of how we coach some things technique-wise when we call those plays. It's still physical. It's still that. It's just a little bit of a mentality of how and when we can get to the second level. You know, we just kind of have a different kind of set of rules, if you will, of when we can come off combinations to the second level when we're running those type plays to make sure we're not downfield. But it's still physical up front. It's still physical on the line of scrimmage because that's all legal. And then we just kind of tweak. When we call those plays, they just kind of go, okay. They have a different kind of little set of rules for coming off on the second level, if that makes sense.
Gotcha. Okay, I'll add one more.
Yep.
You know, just coming back, you know, why did you feel like that was a good move at this point in your career? Were you excited to come back?
Yeah.
You know, what kind of went into that?
Very excited to come back. You know, obviously I was here for 7 years. It's the longest I've been anywhere in the 21, 22 years, whatever it's been in this business. My youngest two kids were born here. My family loves it here. I love it here. So that was a big factor and exciting. I know this organization. I know that it's run well. I know all the things. You know, you kind of been other places and you see different things, and it's like coming back to something you know they're going to do everything for you to be successful, all those things. And then probably the biggest thing for me is I believe in Kellen. You know, I believe how he builds it, how he's going to, you know, how we're going to build this thing together, having been with him. And, you know, he and I were in touch a lot last year when I was in Seattle and he was in Philly. And, you know, I'm just a believer in how he sees it, how he wants to go about it, and how we can get this thing going back to, you know, what it was when I was here last time. So very excited to be back.
Yeah, and you know the fans are always going to be willing to sit out in 100 degrees to watch practice.
That's it's wild. I always question. I swear, I was joking with some of the new guys here. I was like, does anybody work down here?
Right.
Like, what is it, Wednesday afternoon? I'm looking out in the stands. I'm like, holy cow, it's 10 o'clock in the morning.
It's
awesome. That's why fans for Fanatic. I love it.
Right. I appreciate it, man.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jeff.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Jeff, good stuff with Brendan Nugent there. And like you said, back with the black and gold was with the team initially 2015 to 2021, then spent two seasons with the Chargers and last season out in Seattle.
Yeah, no, and I think, you know, Eric McCoy was excited to get Brendan Nugent back. Like, it's an interesting staff because you have a lot of new faces, but then you brought back Nugent, you brought back Joel Thomas. Right. So there is familiarity with some of these veteran players who worked with Nugent before, and obviously, yeah, he worked with Kellen Moore out in L.A., and you heard him say, like, one of the reasons he wanted to come here is because he believes in Kellen.
Love hearing that.
And I think that's a pretty common thing. Like, when you go around the locker room, like, there's a lot of belief in what he's building, and you know, I think he's pressing the right buttons. And I like Nugent. I was disappointed to see him leave. I thought he really did a good job with that offensive line. They've kind of just run through a stable of guys, and Doug Marrone and John Benton last year, I thought did a good job. He's more of a teacher, and I think that's with this group. And Deuce kind of talked about this the other day. With this coaching staff, there's really an emphasis on development, on teaching, and you need that because it's a young group. You got young quarterbacks, you got young offensive linemen, you got young defensive backs, right? Other than the safeties, it's a very young group. And so you need coaches that are going to show up and teach, not necessarily just kind of hand people the game plan and say, figure it out. And that's a change, right? Like in the end of the Sean Payton era, a lot of this was on the veterans to handle things on their own, and you had the players that you trusted to do that. You weren't giving significant roles to young players. That's not something you can say now.
Sorry to any Doug Marrone fans out there, but I am not was happy to see him leave the Saints.
Did not think he handled that room particularly well.
No, definitely did not help any kind of development with Trevor Penning, that's for sure.
Yeah, that was probably the ugliest bit of the Doug Marrone OL coach era was the Trevor Penning getting benched 2 years ago when he was starting at left tackle. And yeah, he worked with the veteran players. Streif, when he was here, worked with the younger players. And I just don't think he handled the younger players particularly well.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.